In our study before this, we took special note of what we call the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reading in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, and just noticing what is written there, and we were told about how the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven, away from this world. And now, in following that, is an interesting thing so far as the disciples were concerned. I wonder, as I'm commenting on it now, how many of us are able to grasp what a startling and astonishing experience this must have been. When this whole company of people, and by the way, it would seem that there were probably as many as 120 people there, quite a large group of people, when this company of people were gathered around, and there may well have been more than that there at this time that I'm speaking about, later there were the number 120 is used, but quite a number of people, and they had been having this amazing experience. They had seen his body taken up from them. You'll remember I pointed out in our study that they had seen him appear and disappear. He had come into their midst, as it were, from nowhere. And after talking with them, he had disappeared, just like that. But this was different. He demonstrated something in their presence so that they could see it. His body was taken up into heaven. And while they stood there, looking up into the sky where his body had gone, two men in white apparel stood by them and talked to them and asked them, "Why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens?" And then spoke this word, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word that's spoken to them. And now listen to what they did. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." This is in chapter 1, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 12. And so we read that they went back from the Mount Olivet, where he had been taken up into heaven, and went back to Jerusalem. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. This is the account. When I read that, I have to remind myself, it's important for you and for me to read this just as it is, because these are the people who became the members of the early church. These are the men and women whose testimony spread, and you might, in one sense, you could say, shook the world of that time. They actually were accused of having turned the world upside down. They made a tremendous impact upon the people of their day, not because they were smart, not because they were strong, not because there were many of them, not because they had some unusual gifts or talents, or had unusual diligence, or a special policy, or very superior way of doing things. No, these are people who had seen the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. They believed everything that was involved and implied in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in a God who could affect the situation in this world. They believed that Almighty God could do something down here with men. He did it among them. They had seen his work and had seen his power. They were this kind of people. And now they had seen, not only had they seen the body of Jesus Christ taken up into heaven, but they'd been told that that body would return from heaven in the same way in which he had gone up. He would return. And now they've gone back to Jerusalem waiting. Now you and I know enough about the story. We read what comes in the first part of the book of Acts, and we know what they were waiting for. They had been told to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father that the Lord Jesus had said he would send to them. Now, they may in their own minds have been quite vague as to what to expect. I'm not sure that any one of them knew for sure what to expect. You could read the Old Testament pretty carefully, and I'm not sure in reading the Old Testament that you would get much of an idea what Pentecost was going to be like. But they knew one thing, that God had promised that He would Himself send His Holy Spirit among them, and they were waiting for the promise of the Father. The Lord Jesus had told them they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They'd been told that. And John the Baptist had told them that the Lord Jesus would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. Whatever that meant, they expected it. And so they went back there to wait. And notice what happened. We read, they all continued with one accord. They went into an upper room, and there this company of people gathered together with one accord in a prayer meeting that we commonly say was a 10-day prayer meeting. It means that for 10 days, what these people did was wait on God and pray with prayer and supplication. The names that are listed, of course, are the names of the 11 apostles. And then there is the name of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. That doesn't mean to say there were only that many people. The 15th verse says, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Now in another place we read in the book of Corinthians that the Lord Jesus was seen by as many as 500 brethren at one time. What I'm meaning to say is that there were more than just the company of the apostles. How many more, we don't know. In this case, I would say that it's a fair thing to think that the number of people who were up there in that upper room would be about 120, more or less. It does not mean to say that they were there all the time. It doesn't mean that they had locked themselves in. But this was the occupation that they gave themselves over to. And I want you to notice something now. They had been given a commission to go into all the world, to the ends of the world, to preach the gospel, and to make disciples of all nations. But they were told not to go until they were endued with power from on high. They were to wait there until the Holy Spirit was sent. During the time they were waiting, they were praying. We read, in prayer and supplication. And now let us ask ourselves, just by way of thinking about this, when you say in prayer, what could a person pray about that would take time and time and time, and you could pray along for hours? How would you do that in prayer? Well, prayer includes thanksgiving, thanking God for this and for that and for the other thing. Prayer includes meditation. When you think about God and you think about Himself, you think about His plans, you think about what He has done, meditation upon the Word of God. And prayer will include praise. When you praise God for what He has done, when you praise Him in Himself for what He is, and you give Him thanks for what He has done. And this can take time. You can think of it and think of it and think of it. And supplication, that's when you make your requests, when you petition. And if you ask yourself, what did they pray about? What is it likely that they supplicated about? What were they asking God for? I wonder if it's wrong to assume that they were asking God for what He had promised, that they were there actually waiting for the Holy Spirit. We read in the book, in the Gospels, in one place, shall not the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And I think it's quite possible that these people were waiting before God and saying, Lord, do it to us. Do what You promised to do. I expect something like that was in their minds. And there they were. I, again, would take note of the names of these apostles as they're here, and the women who were not named, but they were there. We do not know how many. I think that would include Mary Magdalene. It would probably include the other Mary. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, is named here. But who all else and how many more, we don't know. With his brethren. Now, in the 14th verse where it says, and with his brethren, we might keep in mind that most Bible students have an idea that that refers to his brothers in the flesh. You remember there were a number of them who were in the same family, and that would seem to be because there'd be no reason for just repeating the idea of the brethren when you've already spoken about these apostles. However, it may refer to the other disciples. That's not important here. What we have in mind is that these people who were gathered together were all people who in some way were related to him. And this is very important. They are the ones who are going to receive the Holy Spirit. They are the people who trust in him, the people who believe in him. And as we have said, when you look in verse 15, you will find this was upwards of 120 people. That's as many as there were who were confidently expecting that God would do something among them that would be the fulfillment of the promise that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit of God. And here, in this way, we can see the secret of spiritual performance, spiritual achievement. Suppose that we wanted to have something done. Shall I say, where would you want to have something done spiritually? Would you want to have something done in your own life spiritually? Well, then I think that there would be things like this. I think it would be important to keep in mind about God, important to keep in mind about the Lord Jesus Christ, important to have in mind that he died for you, most important for you to have in mind he was raised from the dead. Then have in mind he ascended into heaven. Then have in mind he is in the presence of God right now. Then have in mind that he's praying for you. And with all those things in mind, wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. And he will bless you. And he will give you some revelation of himself, some blessing from him that will guide you and strengthen you in the task and the performance of which you are now committed to, what you're going to try to do right there that is before you. This is that 10-day prayer meeting in the upper room when these believing people who were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ waited upon God, praying that God would do what he has promised and send his Holy Spirit into their hearts to enable them to do what he wanted them to do. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us. Draw us nigh unto thee. Incline our hearts to believe in thee. Bring it to our hearts and minds how the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. Bring it to our hearts and minds how thou didst raise him from the dead and take him up into heaven. And then let us remember that he, in the presence of God, he is praying for us. And bless us in him. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.